And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us here this Wednesday. It is the 8th of January, 2025. It's good to be back with you once again. Hope you're doing well. We are excited to be here with you. We got a great show lined up today. Obviously, we're going to talk about some of the stuff when it comes to the Greenland purchase and all that stuff. We have to. Trump is moving in on Greenland. Now, he's not the first to do it, granted. We'll go through that later. But I don't know. It's just kind of bizarre. We'll talk about it. Obviously, Canada is in play. It's not in play at all. Actually, none of this would probably happen. But I'm saying they're trying to, you know, make this a thing, right? Push for Canada, and then they're pushing for Greenland, the Panama Canal. I think it is a couple of things like that. And then of course we have the dear old Zuckerberg that has come out, and all of a sudden he's pivoting. Now, we made some mistakes when it came to the censorship. That's right. We made a couple of mistakes. Zuckerberg just, what, helped to rig the 2020 election? What was this organization called that he donated $20 million to? I forget what it was. Anyway, I'll talk about that because it's so absurd. I don't think nothing's going to happen. Not much of anything is going to happen, in fact. But we'll play his clip. It's very much the tech sector saying, if you can't beat them, join them. And of course, it's not only Elon and Zuckerberg that's joined the mega brigade under Trump. It's a number of other people, and I think, in fact, for those that have that had at one point genuine hope for for a Trump, I'm not in that camp. That boat sailed a long time ago. The idea of someone like Trump, 2016 campaigning Trump was a lot of fun. But it's a different ball game today in 2025. Doesn't mean that there isn't a portion of the establishment that hate him, but most of them say let's just butter him up, let's smooth this out, let's join them, and then we'll change it from the inside. And there's enough donors there now, big tech donors, Israeli Jewish donors, Zog donor. That's ship has kind of sailed, if you ask me. But there's many others. That's my point, right? From the Palantirs and the Peter Thiels and the Alex Karps to the Mark Andreessens to the David Sachs. And, of course, many of these have been, positioned or is about to, presuming that they get approved or nominated, they get the nomination and then they get, approved. Plenty of them in the tech sector, the AI world and all that stuff. So, anyway, it's very, very interesting. Interesting times for sure. Anyway, I think we should just kind of dive into some of the stuff here because we do have a lot to cover. Oh, some housekeeping real quick here too. We actually intended to do a Western Warrior this start this week here, and it didn't pan out because we figured, we can actually make two really good shorter videos out of some of the topics I wanted to cover. So that's what we've been working over the last couple of days, writing scripts and try to, get these filmed and stuff like that. But we will be back with the Western Warriors soon. So thank you for your patience on that. It's important we spread out and do some of those, shorter videos as well. But anyway, so that's why we're here on a Woden's Day today, back, if you will. Check this one out. I guess we can begin with some lighthearted stuff here. These are we got to post positive things on X now these days on Twitter because otherwise you get demoted in the algorithm apparently. So I posted this and said, "Wow, aren't we lucky? Even on the way towards our countries, they multiply. migrant gives birth aboard dinghy. Mother delivers healthy baby boy surrounded by 63 other baby boys on a small boat off the coast of Spain. Yay!" aren't we lucky? And then, of course, if you criticize this, because most of these will be heading to maybe not necessarily the UK, we'll see what happens, but Germany, UK, some of them France, maybe some of them will stay in Spain, I don't know. As they go to the UK, of course, if you complain on this, then of course you will get arrested. And if one of them stabs you, or your local girls in your area, and you complain about that and get angry and upset and scream at the police for protecting these stabbists, the stabbers and the rapists, then you all end up in jail, obviously. Right? So here's one of those. Here it is. Taxi driver who stoked Southport riots jailed. Guess how much he got? 7 years. That's right. For what? For a Telegram channel. A taxi driver whose social media posts were a, quote, catalyst for riots. You tell me he set that up, what, presumably then, a day, two, three after was done. How many people do you think he reached with this? A couple of hundred, maybe? At best? Look, maybe more. Maybe they were shared by other huge Telegram channels or something like that. I'm not sure, but regardless. Apparently, these posts were so dangerous, they caused these riots. And it was not riots, it was protests, right? Because that's what, mostly peaceful protests. That's what the other side says when they are out burning shit down. They were a catalyst, these posts, for riots that broke out after three girls were stabbed to death in Southport. Yeah, how dare you protest after some of your young girls are stabbed by these migrants? But he's been jailed for 7.5 years in the wake of this. Unbelievable. Andrew, 39, set up a Telegram channel called Southport Wake Up in the immediate aftermath of the knife attack at a children's dance class in the Myerside town on July 29th. Liverpool Crown Court heard the case involved a sinister aspect of violence, disorder, and possession of a knife in an earlier hearing. Okay. I'm sorry, I mixed those two sentences, didn't I? We do that again. Involved a sinister aspect of violence which took place in parts of the UK last week. Yeah, but how can you blame him for that? Okay, so apparently he had... Here we go. Here's the line I was blending this with. McIntyre had admitted encouraging violent disorder and possession of a knife in an earlier... let me get it. Is it one of those, the British butter knives that they've been, that we've heard so much about? Is it one of those? How dare you have a knife when there was just a stabbing, you know, in parts of the UK? The Telegram, and here we go, here's the Antifa doxing campaigns here, right? The Telegram channel was identified by the group Hope Not Hate as a catalyst for origin of a series of posts concerning incidents of violence, some goddamn lefty prosecutor said. So they can, I assume this went into like the evidence, the record, whatever Hope Not Hate said. Yeah, this is not, you can't write, you can't, something with Mein Kampf. How dare you read a book, sir? And Yvette Cooper is back in here. All right. Okay. Anyway, you get the point. That's the UK, which leads me to the latest thing here regarding the fact that the grooming gangs stuff have been back in the news in the UK, which is good. It's good that that's back, but it's just so aggravating, right? Because every time they do the same thing, they shoot it down, they deny inquiry into it because, of course, they're protecting brown people. They're protecting, and no, it doesn't matter what religion they are. It doesn't matter. And of course, you had Elon said something about Muslim rape gangs. And yes, they're pivoting towards that kind of thing. And it's like, yeah, but majority of them probably are Muslim, right? But there's some there, some that were not, probably. But the point is, it doesn't matter what religion they are. What matters is that they're invaders and immigrants, and they're not supposed to be in the UK. And so you let them in, and then they form, you know, criminal child rape gangs that commence. And what was it like? A million estimated. They don't know because, of course, they won't do inquiries into the thing properly. A million young girls might have been gang raped because of these child pedophile rape gangs formed by migrants. So we could drop the Muslim. I because it doesn't bother me what religion, or it bothers me, but it doesn't matter what religion they are. Let's call them brown rape gangs. Is that better? Does that ring a bell? Does that jive better? Brown rape gangs were involved in this disproportionately because the Muslims came out as like, oh, did you know there's more white rapists in the UK? Well, first of all, well, exactly. So why would we want to import more? We have a it's this wonderful like the checkmate move when it comes to these grooming gangs or whatever the argument is for. Well, white people do crime too, sir. So therefore, open your borders and let them all in. shove them all in, shall we? Let's upend civilization because we had a couple of white criminals. Yeah, we have enough problems on our own. Why would we import more problems? Why would we import people from regions that are not only inbred, but this is customary to their beautiful culture that they're diversifying our countries with? Child marriage, genital mutilation, entertained by young boys. I forget how it translates. I know it might be isolated just to Afghanistan. Ooh, yeah, big deal. It's like, but even like India, right? There are so many Indians in Canada and UK now. Even India had like staggering statistical reports. I think it was something upward of 50% when they did these inquiries. That they did a study essentially asking young Indian, dot not feather Indians, Indian children, whether they had been, in some way molested or approached or groped or even raped or something like that. It was like, I think it was as high as 50% of them. And sample size was fairly large. It was like 13,000 kids or something like that. So that's commonplace in many of those cultures. That's just how they act. So why would we import more of them? But they were like, but they also don't. Of course, on top of that, these Muslims don't understand per capita, obviously. It's as usual. Yeah, you're disproportionately overrepresented. And I wish I had it. I think it was the UK Home Office. It was a while ago. A report came out. Now, of course, they try to cover it up. They try to like kind of glaze it over and like, oh well, there's more non-native British that are rapists and child sex molesters and pedophile, and yeah, they tend to rape more and all this stuff. But oh, it's socioeconomic circumstances and racism or something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like that. They made excuses, but the point is statistically, they couldn't lie, right? They couldn't lie. They said, yeah, it's non-indigenous British people in the UK are way overrepresented when it comes to these kinds of crimes, including rape and pedophilia, child sex, abuse and things like this. So now this bloomed back, and I guess it's one of the positive, fallouts from Musk. I'm not sure. He helped to amplify this and boost it. And sure, he directed it towards the Muslims, which is not, entirely true, but I don't care, whatever. It's not like that they deserve it, but Musk helped to boost that a little bit, which was good. And so now there's a row in the UK over this. Oh my God, we should, he's boosted the AFD recently. He's boosted, information about these rape gangs. He's doing all these things. He should be banned, basically. His speech should be limited, which is kind of funny. Because now he's doing that to others, right? He's limiting people to criticizing Musk now. Labour votes down Tory demand for national inquiry into grooming gangs. Big surprise, right? So they've done this for how many years now? Is going on decades now, I think? From 2020, grooming gang review kept secret as Home Office claims releasing findings is not in the public interest. That's right, it's not in the public's interest. Freedom of information request refused, so ministers have safe space to discuss policy. Okay. There it is. Fantastic, isn't it? So that's some of the minor consequences. I mean, it's big, but I'm saying it's just one of many facets to mass immigration or immigration overall, open borders, and what happens when you start replacing your people, right? They wanted a fresh investigation, Tories, and she's an African, right? But to her credit, at least she called for that. Fresh investigations. Because the old ones have already rotted on the vine. Into historical child sexual exploitation. This decision comes amid intense criticism from opposition MPs and Elon Musk, who intensified calls for accountability following the government's refusal for a national-led inquiry in Oldham. Now, of course, the pivot again here is Muslims bad, and for Musk, he started to shill the Reform Party with Nigel Farage in place of that, as the head of that. Which is, more of the same. It's he's avowed, critic, obviously, of actual nationalists. He's, in fact, have proudly said that he He helped to kill, quote, the far right in the UK after he, you know, launched the UKIP party and things like this. So anyway, we'll see what comes out of that. This is the actual vote. How long is this?
Right, 111. The no's to the left, 364.
The ayes to the right were 111, the noes to the left 364, so the noes have it, the noes have it.
The noes have it, has it? The noes has it. No investigation, that's right. Let's not find out how our kids were raped. Yeah, that makes total sense. Holy shit. Hey, let me take this super chat here from Albert Arctic Wolf. So good to see you, man. Hope you're doing well. Thank you so much for that generous dono. You're keeping us not only afloat, but doing very well. Thank you so much, Albert. We can't thank you enough. We never expected, but we always, you know, sincerely appreciate it. Thank you so much. He says, hi, Henrik. Hope everyone has been having a great start to 2025. Been getting lots of snow here. We too, actually. Just finally got some dumped last night. Late last night, actually. Can't wait to hear thoughts on the retarded Greenland purchase. Yeah, so you're agreeing with me on Twitter on that. I sometimes feel like I'm in Stockholm Syndrome with my support of Trump, LOL. Yeah, I understand it. I'm not sure if we didn't. I don't think we talked about that. I think you were supportive of Trump in 2016, I would assume, right? It's just that, you know, the train just left the station, you know, when after, I think it was after, I think it was like when he started bombing Syria and stuff like that, or like, did he bomb Iran? What was the leader there again? Soleimani, or what was he called again, that he took out? It's kind of somewhere around that time. It was enough things that boom, boom, boom happened, and then he, you know, gave the Golan Heights to Israel and all that stuff. It's like, all right, that was fun for a bit, you know, kind of thing. It's okay. We're trying to change you. We're trying to change your mind. I've been pretty much okay. You said it. If I kept reading, I've been pretty much a day one supporter, and I feel like I've been getting let down ever since. Yeah, I know exactly that, and that's, you know, that's what we're pointing out. Looking forward to another great show. Thank you so much, Albert. Always good to see you here. Thank you so much. Yes, and of course, some people said, he's, you know, he's even from day one. It's like some of these other parties too. It's like it's fine to give these people a chance. You know, as bad as AFD is, for example, I'd like to give them a chance. I still maintain Trump has been a net positive. I still maintain, maybe the discourse would go there anyway. It's hard to prove that, right? But what I mean when I say that is nothing to do with his, you know, policies or what he did or even didn't do of sorts, right? Oh, well, obviously, but I'm saying, it's how at least the rhetoric was amplified, and even the overreaction from the media, and then, you know, helped to discredit that to such an extent, right? It helped with the erosion of legacy media, which ultimately is a net positive. It helped to step up the debate significantly when it comes to immigration, although they won't deliver and all that stuff. And I get that it's like, you know, this is a, obviously it's a, you know, complacency issue, and a lot of people tend to think, oh, that's, you know, well, we got, you know, like we saw now after the latest election win here, right? Like, oh, woke is over. It's, you know, we won, kind of thing. And obviously, it's not. And in fact, I think even the side that, you know, we'll talk about here later when it comes to Zuckerberg, at least, right, that are like pivoting and like trying to join up, essentially, that will degrade, that will erode even the genuine sentiments that are there among the people. I'm not even talking about Trump in that sense. It will water down, I think, that message overall, obviously. But then you will see this, like, slowly just, like, choke that out. So it's hard to say whether it's a net positive. Maybe it would have gone this way anyway, right? But, you know, the option then would be, you know, Kamala and thing. And it's like, yeah, that would escalate things even further. But this will as well, as we've seen. Has anybody kind of eased off? I still think there's a large core group of people, and that's the last thing I'll say about it, and then we'll move on, but there's still a large core group of nationalists, and I think at one point maybe genuine, you know, MAGA people of sorts, that are upset and angry over their globalist ambitions, as we'll get into with, you know, Greenland and Canada today, and basically rebuilding NAFTA and repackaging globalism and stuff like that. Like they see this, they expose that, and they push on these normie conservatives. And I know this is just discourse online. This is not, but you know, it's a reflection of something, right? So that's a good thing ultimately. That you're seeing that pressure, and they're you know, on the defensive on the H-1B thing, you know what I mean? So no, it won't slow down. It's inevitable. Ultimately, like Trump just surfed a wave. He didn't create the wave, you know what I mean? And that's kind of how I see it. It's a general trend going in this direction, no matter who's in office, no matter who says what along the way. These are the trends, because ultimately they're based in people's experiences out in the street, not what they read in the media, not what they say that they're supposed to feel about whatever happened, like the Southport stabbings or whatever. Like, those genuine sentiments by the people are still there. They're sick and fed up with open borders. They're sick and fed up with immigration. They're sick with being replaced. And it doesn't matter who's in office. And as I said, an AFD or, you know, or then maybe a Trump. I mean, I know there's kind of like they're the new establishment now. So there is a different, there's a little bit of a different flavor on that. But Sweden Democrats, whatever, like, yeah, put those in power and let them fail, and then keep pushing from underneath true grassroots and even harder. And that will give way. That will give way to other options, if you believe that, you know, anything can be done through politics at all, which I understand those who think it won't have, you know, matter, and you won't be able to fix it that way. I definitely understand that. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't fight, obviously. All right. So that's the grooming gangs stuff, obviously. What was it? That's the same clip there. Yeah, okay. All right. We don't have to do this. Hey, check this out, by the way. Speaking of Pajits, let me translate this for you guys here. Come on. Expressen out of Sweden. Let me see. Can I get a... Oh, that's a weirdly translated. The killer's way or path towards the victim... at the grocery store was captured on film, is the headline. I don't know, it's kind of a weird headline. Anyway, boil it down. 26-year-old Pajit stabbed a 60-year-old shop assistant in one of the immigrant dense suburbs outside of Stockholm, Sweden. I think it was in Botkyrka. Yeah, it's like one of the old, like, Botkyrka. It's like where the shit started, essentially. Anyway, he was born in India, this guy, apparently. He got Swedish citizenship in 2009, I believe. But they just walk in and they just start stabbing. during the day, the 26-year-old had been in Södertälje to retrieve his passport. Well, his Indian passport or his Swedish passport? So there's always something with passports with these people. He then went to ICA, which is a grocery store, to shop, according to information provided to Expressen. There, he went for unclear reasons. They had to attack a 60-year-old woman, a shopkeeper. The 26-year-old was quickly overpowered by security personnel in the store and could be handed over to police and detention center. Okay. He's the father of a toddler and he's married. Oh, my God. Oh, it's okay, though, because he's long struggled with mental illness. Well, maybe he shouldn't be in Sweden then, huh? We have enough problems, as it is. Yeah, the police have not yet been able to find any connection between him and the victim, because there isn't any. They literally just show up and just randomly stab you, because they're fucking insane. That's why. And you know what? I think a lot of these people feel really bad during the winter months. They might even feel bad during the summer months, actually, because of the difference in daylight, and then they can't sleep because it's light all the time or whatever, right? But like long, dark winters, I think, it's hard enough even for white people, for Swedes living in these parts, you know, multiple generations, you know, thousands of years. There's still a struggle during winter months for many people, not for everyone. I'm generally fine with it. It does happen, but like generally, I'm like, meh, it doesn't bother me too much. Can you imagine these Africans and Indians and Arabs and shit, and being, it's dark. It gets dark at, you know, 1:30. You know, it doesn't get It doesn't get light until 9 in the morning in some cases, or 8:30. You get 4 or 5 hours. The further north you get, excuse me, you get even less sunlight. I think it drives them insane. They do not belong in the north. And I don't care, but I'm saying they're going to get sicker because of the vitamin D deficiency. No one tells them about that. They're going to be a drain on our healthcare. So if you walk into essentially any emergency room in any Swedish, it's just full of migrants now. They're always there because you get free universal healthcare. Yeah, it's just free. No one's picking up the tab for that. Anyway. Why even deport at this point? Just delete. Am I right? Okay. Should we talk about Greenland then, huh? They're a weapon, Henrik. Yeah, I know. It's a bioweapon. Okay. Why does Trump want Greenland, and what do its people think? U.S. President-elect Donald Trump has repeated his intention to take control of Greenland, the Arctic territory controlled by Denmark. Why is Trump talking about this, and why now? Greenland is the world's largest island, located in the Arctic. It's the world's most sparsely populated territory. Only 56,000 people live there, mostly indigenous Inuit people. And by the way, they did come later. The Norse populated Greenland first, the Vikings. But we'll get to that. About 80% of its territory is covered by ice, meaning most people live on the southwestern coast around the capital, Nuuk. An autonomous territory of Denmark, it's also home to Danish and U.S. military bases, so they already have a presence there. The economy is mainly based on fishing. Large subsidies from the Danish government account for about a fifth of GDP. So there we go. What do they get in return? I hope they get something in return. I mean, I know it is the Kingdom of Denmark, but when it's an autonomous territory, it's kind of, In recent years, there have been increased interest in Greenland's natural resources, including mining for rare earth minerals, uranium, and iron. These may become more accessible as, and this is an interesting thing, right? Global warming leads to some of the ice covering Greenland to melt. Now, I think they, we'll see. Because you have these drastic, like, back and forth, like, there's evidence in the past of, like, drastic freezing and things like that. But yeah, overall, I don't believe in anthropogenic global warming. I just don't think we have the power to do that. I mean, it's primarily the sun driving that. But it speaks a little bit to, Greenland's history, obviously. And partially, yeah, okay, the name Green. Okay, yeah, he's Eric the Red, who founded Greenland, whatever. Called it Greenland because he was hoping it would attract more people, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, sure, that's true. But it was warmer at that point, by the way. Let me see if I have it here. The medieval warm period. According to current research, during the medieval warm period, global temperatures were generally considered to be around 0.3 to 1 degrees Celsius warmer, which is not much at all. But even that, by the way, the distribution is not equal around the globe. So they say in the northern hemisphere in particular, it was warmer, right? So this is before SUVs. Because keep in mind, this is what the IPCC have been warning about, remember? They have said 1.5 degrees is considered a catastrophe by the IPCC. I don't want to make it about this, but it's just an interesting fact that, like, I think we might be... we are in a natural warming cycle, and by the way, that could change very fast, right? But it's generally cooler now than it has been for a long time. Of course, you have the monitor minimum and things like this. You could get a mini ice age, rolling around for various reasons. It's up and down. That's my point. But it's funny. 1.5 is catastrophic. Right? It's like they will lead to what would it say here? Extreme weather events, heat waves, droughts, wildfires, floods, and rising sea levels. But back then, it was like, yeah, we got a 1 degree warmer. It's fine. And it was, in fact, more habitable on Greenland then than it is now. There's that interesting way back history, right? I don't know if this is true. Dendrochronology, maybe. There's things where, like, Greenland basically had a subtropic climate at one point. But imagine if we're heading there, right? Imagine if we're wouldn't you want to have this in the hands of a country like, wouldn't it be better in the hands of Denmark? Because my critique is, if you let the United States buy it, that's basically the same as like giving it to Israel. Because Israeli, you know, Zionist interests controlling most of the, especially the foreign affairs of the United States. Let it be in the hands of Denmark. Slow down. Maybe we can use it. Maybe we'll get, you know, warmer there. And yeah, maybe, who knows, I guess, if you generate power easy enough, you can still, you know, you can melt ice. You can still live there. I don't know. It's ideas. But no, I'm not for handing that away or selling it to Denmark. I will die on that hill, damn it. But yeah, so anyway, point is, it could be true that it might be leading to new territory opening up. Don't hand it over to America. Why? Because they'll put Pajits on there. They'll ship Global Home, and it's like, yes, Denmark has its problem, and it's a liberal too, or you know whatnot, but. I think the reality is Denmark might be closer to some genuine, at least on a national scale, a genuine nationalist revival as opposed to America, partially because of the demography and stuff like that, right? In fact, I think America needs to split up, but that's a different thing. Okay, anyway, lots to say about that, but we might keep reiterating that. I'm saying, what is the benefit to Americans? It's not. Think of Iraq, right? Oh, let's invade. Okay, oil, whatever. Halliburton got some contracts. Americans didn't get wealthier. It's the same elites. And if you believe in the deep state, or you know what some people call permanent Washington, well, once Trump's out of office, then it will just roll around, and it'll be right back in the hands of whoever is coming up next. I don't even think, you know, obviously, as we've seen, especially during the last, you know, three election cycles or so, the president doesn't hold the type of power which people are led to believe that that he does. It's puppets. It's again, permanent Washington is a bigger enemy. And at the end of the day, Trump will be replaced, and he's old now, and who's going to take over? You know, ooh, J.D. Vance, more tech bros, yay. But, you know, if AOC is president, for those who believe that, again, the president, you want Greenland in the hands of her, in her hands? What do you think she will do? Maybe John Leibowitz, John Stewart, right? The Daily Show. They've tried to pivot towards him as a presidential candidate for the Democrats. Oh, my gosh. Man, that'll ruin Greenland. At least Denmark has been, like, very kind of hands off, which is better than like overdevelopment or doing something. And it's just like, one thing I don't understand though, it's like, yeah, it's kind of a shame if there indeed are a lot of resources there and stuff like that. Yeah, why not, you know, make sure that the Danes and those people living on Greenland can benefit from that, right? Located geographically within North America, Greenland has been controlled by Denmark, nearly 3,000 kilometers away for about 300 years, which is the BBC piece is almost like, kind of like, yeah, we kind of, this is sensible. You know, you kind of get that vibe for it. The island was governed as a colony until the mid-20th century. For much of this time, it remained isolated and poor. In 1953, it was made part of the Kingdom of Denmark, and Greenlanders became Danish citizens. In 1979, a referendum on home rule gave Greenland control of most policies within the territory, with Denmark retaining control over foreign affairs and defense. So the U.S. has long maintained a security interest in Greenland. After Nazi Germany occupied mainland Denmark during World War II, the U.S. invaded Greenland, establishing military and radio stations across the territory. After the war, the U.S. forces remained in Greenland. Of course they do. They always do that, right? Once they get it, they never leave. It's like Rammstein, all these bases in Germany and, you know, Norway, etc. All over the place. Poland. Pituffik Space Base, formerly known as, and this is such a much better name, the Thule Air Base. Can they go back to that then? It has been operated by the U.S. ever since. In 1951, a defense agreement with Denmark granted the U.S. a significant role in the defense of the territory, including the right to build and maintain military bases. So isn't that enough? No, it's not enough. if Russia were to send missiles towards the U.S., the shortest route for nuclear weapons would be via the North Pole and Greenland, said Mark Jakobsen, an associate professor at the Royal Danish Defense College. That's why the Thule Air Force Base is immensely important in defending the U.S. China and Russia begin build-up in their Arctic military capabilities in recent years, according to Arctic Institute paper. The paper called for the U.S. to further develop its presence in the Arctic to counter its rivals. On Wednesday, Danish Force Minister Lars Løkke Rasmussen said Denmark was open to discussion with the U.S., adding that Washington had legitimate interest in the region. We see a Russia that is... I mean, they are. That's true. But you see how they use that also to reshuffle the whole, you know. Anyway, now they're doing globalism. We see a China that's also starting to take an interest, Rasmussen said. Trump is also likely interested in the mining potential across Greenland's vast landmass. Jakobsen added, today of special interest are the rare earth minerals, which have not yet been mined, but are in the southern part of Greenland. These are immensely important in all kinds of technologies, from cell phones to wind turbines. Yay, so the green, you know, the green pivot, green transition, what are they called again? And cell phones. Yay, okay. More. Can we have more cell phones, please? I'm sure you can use it for other things, but like, really? Okay. Well, you're telling me Denmark is incapable of, they can hire companies that can mine for them. It's bizarre. Same thing with Sweden. Like, they had iron ore, you know, mining and stuff for many, many years, hundreds of years, in fact. And then all of a sudden it's like, nah, we're doing away with that now. And then like a Chinese company comes in and it's like, oh, can we buy your mine? We mine your mine better. That's what they said. And so it's like, oh, well, okay, I guess you, okay, sure, you know. And then, of course, you know, we get nothing from it. Keep it yourself, okay? Does the U.S. want full control of Greenland? Trump has claimed that control of Greenland is essential to U.S. national and economic security. Thank you, Orson, over on Rumble for being a monthly supporter. Appreciate that. Though the president-elect rhetoric may seem unusual, for over a century, a succession of U.S. presidents have tried to gain control of Greenland. The U.S. tried a few times to push the Danes out of Greenland and take it over as part of the U.S., or at least have full security tutelage of Greenland, said Lucas Vadian, the author of 66 Degrees North, a newsletter on Arctic security. In 1867, after buying Alaska from Russia, and I bet you they regret that now, I think they do, right? U.S. Secretary of State led negotiations to buy Greenland from Denmark, but failed to reach any agreement. In 1946, the U.S. offered to pay $100 million, equivalent to about $1.2 billion in today's value, for the territory, judging that it was vital for national security, but the Danish government refused. Trump also tried to buy Greenland during his first term. Both Denmark and the Greenlandic government... Does that work? The Greenlandic government? They rejected the 2019 proposal, saying Greenland is not for sale. What do the people of Greenland think? Kuno Fenker, a member of the Inatsiaturt, the Greenlandic parliament, said on Wednesday that he didn't see Trump's comments as a threat. It's fascinating how they say it's always this. There were some clips of this. Do I have them? I think I have them. I mean, I know they went there and they probably paid them to like stand here with us and put on this MAGA hat and like start this PR war and say, oh, America is great. Yes, please buy us, you know, kind of thing. So I don't take it too seriously, but it's like they just immediately have this kind of like they look like some kind of just. I think someone pointed out, this looks like they brought some Latinos for Trump or something like that, or just standing there with a, you know, I don't know. It's just, they pivot towards that. It's hilarious. Or they pivot, but they look like, just like that. You know what I mean? There's no difference. They would take to like, you know, hood culture immediately kind of thing. I was like, oh God, what is it with this? slightly brown, and then immediately it's just like, you know, Jewish record producers get in their head somehow. Fenker, who supports Greenlandic independence, told the BBC that a sovereign Greenland could choose to cooperate with the U.S. on defense. Well, Denmark is already doing that, obviously. But when Trump first raised the idea of buying Greenland in 2019, many locals told the BBC they were opposed to the proposal. This is a very dangerous idea, said Dennis Mikkelsen, a tour operator who was born and raised in Tasiilaq, East Greenland. He's treating us like a good, like goods, right, that he can purchase, said Alika Hammond, Greenland's first, female prime minister. How progressive. And if America takes over, it would be none different, by the way. He's not even talking to Greenland. He's talking to Denmark about buying Greenland. Well, that's because you are under the kingdom of Denmark. I believe they're part of a commonwealth of Denmark, even. So anyway, so that's some notes on BBC. It's kind of interesting. New York Post had a couple of pieces on this, too. And it's very much the same thing. Let me see the video here.
Trump is reigniting his ambition to acquire Greenland, sending his eldest son, Donald Trump Jr., to the Arctic island on what's being called a fact-finding mission. Trump Jr. arrived in Greenland on Tuesday, sharing scenic photos and joking about the frigid temperatures. Meanwhile, Trump doubled down on his vision for the...
Charlie Kirk is with him. He's just... Charlie Kirk. It's like, I mean, Charlie Kirk is the guy who said, you know, boom, right? Well, but it's a butt sex in Botswana. Boom. Remember, they were so excited about homosexuality being decriminalized in Botswana.
Mineral-rich island, calling it a move to make Greenland great again. On Truth Social, Trump shared a video of a Greenland local wearing a MAGA hat and urging the U.S. to...
I've got to find that video. I don't remember what he said about... He said about something about Americans, that they're fun or something. They have a lot of fun over there, or it was something like that. Let me see if I can find that real quick, because I can't remember if I had it in as one of my tweets. Maybe I did, but let's play it now since they brought him up here. Where are you? Here we go. Here it is. Here it is. Let's play that right away. See what it said here.
So, like, if you could tell Trump anything, what would it be?
BIOS.
Buy Greenland.
Buy Greenland.
Why do you want Trump to buy Greenland?
Because we don't want to be colonized by Danish government anymore. We get ripped every year about our minerals from Greenland. We are the richest nation in the world, and we don't get to use it that much.
Well, do something with it then.
Using us too much.
How much are they actually mining, though? Clearly not enough. I don't see the Danes being super wealthy because of that. Are they? Mainly fishing was the industries? At least they're like, leave it alone. We don't want more cell phones and wind turbines. I mean, at least that. Like, I'd rather take like a, for now at least, right? A desolate island. Let nature rule. Can we have a couple of those areas left on the earth, or should it just be pavement everywhere and high rises with migrants in them? Or what's the goal here? You know what I mean?
Do you like America?
I love America. But people are too...
Yeah, so Denmark bad, America... Let's get colonized by America. This guy has really thought this one through.
But people...
Colonialism. Oh, the Danes are so bad. But America, we could buy it. It would be just Big Macs and, casinos in no time.
But people are too fun over there.
People are too fun over there?
So, like, if you could...
All right, anyway, so, I mean, he barely got on the hat before they're like, all right, let's do this quick, bro.
So, like, if you could tell Trump anything, what would it be?
So what would the deal be then? Like, how much, or what would the amount be here? How many people are linking up this one too, right? Once we buy Greenland, we will be putting this bad boy on it. Exactly. That's what he wants. Because he feels like it's just in with the Jewish record producers and do some, like, Inuit rap groups. Inuit gangsta rap. At this point, I don't even think you need Jewish record. This thing is so massive. It's such a disease. It just rolls by its own accord now. You don't even have to do anything. You just have to... There's just a couple of elements you need to put in place, and then poof, it will happen, you know. Anyway.
To buy us while criticizing Danish rule. Greenland is an incredible place, and the people will benefit tremendously if and when it becomes part of our nation, Trump posted. Despite Trump's enthusiasm, Greenland's Prime Minister, Mutti Egede, has firmly rejected the notion, declaring the island is not for sale and will never be for sale. Egede emphasized Greenland's aspirations for independence from Denmark, vowing to determine the island's future on its own terms. Denmark has also pushed...
Unfortunately, I think Denmark, as a fallout of this, was a Reuters piece, I believe. What was the quote here? Let me see if I can find that real quick here. What was it here? Yeah, Greenland independence is possible, but joining the U.S. unlikely, Denmark says. The Danish foreign minister believes that Greenland could become independent, but not a U.S. state, Reuters reports. We fully acknowledge that Greenland has its ambitions. If they are realized, Greenland will become independent, although it's unlikely to have the ambition to become a federal state in the United States, said Danish foreign minister Rasmus Emmer, that we quoted earlier. At the same time, he does not think that there is a foreign policy crisis in the region. We are open to dialogue with the Americans about how we can cooperate even more closely than what we do now to ensure that American ambitions are realized, the diplomat added. And this is, of course, part of Trump's negotiating tactics. It's you know, bombastic. It's going out, I'm gonna buy you. It's like, can you pay off your debt first before you buy more land? Can you secure a better life for Americans before you? I mean, there's so many things here you could you know, wheel as criticism. You don't even have control of the stuff. I mean, Greenland is more plausible that something will happen than Canada. So I'm not even going to address that because it's so... It will never happen. But it's about setting the bar up here. So then when you take several steps down, then you get something. You get... now they got more... They got a deal out of this. They got a military deal, and Denmark approved even more, handing over more, airspace sovereignty to America over Greenland, or something like that. You know what I mean? Or maybe even some mining rights. It's something that could come out of it. So I understand this too. It's just like, it's kind of shit posting a little bit. But the point is, it's just more, global homo. And the point is, like, it's kind of a diversion as well. Like, there were just talks about mass deportations. And it's like, oh, sorry, that's not going to happen. Oh, in fact, we're going to bring in more Pajits than ever under the H-1B program, and then people criticize that. And, of course, now that's kind of out of the news cycle, right? It's just to keep things busy on a new... Oh, well, when do you think you'll take over Greenland? Here's the latest debate shows, kind of thing. And it's like a non-starter. I don't think it will. It's definitely... Nothing's going to happen when it comes to Canada, obviously, right? And but economically, they might get something out of it at the end of the day. So it's to to get something more for America. But that doesn't mean Americans, by the way. Like how much? Let's assume if this becomes gets closer to reality. Excuse me. And then he offers them what? $20 billion? I don't even know what would be. You'd have to make an assessment to what's potentially there in terms of, minerals. What is it worth to you security? But I don't know. $10 billion? Is that too much? That's not a lot at all. It's a massive. It's the world's largest island. And can you imagine if indeed it does turn warmer, and that frees up, and you have all of a sudden you have new territory? Is this some weird tech thing they're going to build? They have the Svalbard seed vault up there. Is it some fucking... They're going to build their doomsday vaults on there, all these rich AI tech bros, Peter Thiel and Alex Karp and Palantir. The PayPal Mafia are going to have some, escape island. Who knows at this point? But, you're going to pay for this in, devalued fiat currency? You see what I'm saying? It's really? It's like you're in debt. You could maybe there's some other things to focus on here than this. All right. Anyway. Here's a comparison size, by the way, just to show you how big it is. The true size of Greenland, should it be a continent? Now, apparently it's like it's actually part of the tectonic plate of North America, and that's one of the reasons, right, why it's like, oh, it's kind of ours, right? Also, you think, well, isn't Australia the biggest island? Well, that's technically a continent because that is on its own tectonic plate. So that's why they made that kind of division there. But as you can see, from Minnesota and North Dakota in the north all the way down to Texas in the south, that's a lot of land. Imagine if that opens up. Can you imagine the AI tech centers and the Puget high-rises they can put on there? Prime Minister seeks independence from Denmark. And that could be another thing, too, by the way, to ramp up their push against Denmark. First you think, oh, this is just Trump being kind of silly or whatnot. But no, this is definitely, oh, this is the coat of arms thing we got to play. That's kind of interesting. It's definitely a geopolitical, strategical reason why they push this, right? This is a... If you want to go back to Mackinder's Heartland theory of sorts, right, this is why they've for such a long time tried to get, if not direct control of Russia, at least have all of their guys in control of Russia. They have their back against the Arctic. It's like a geopolitically, strategically, it's one of the best kind of places to be. It's very hard to get there, you know, things like that. So to take control of the Arctic is a strategic important thing. And I'm not sure if Mackinder, I don't think he wasn't a neocon, but I'm sure the neocons adopted Mackinder's approach or theory or came to that like, oh yeah, that's very important, you know, kind of thing. It's very important to us that that we have that as a base, and from there, you know, we can have more military presence and. You know, then that will be NATO territory. So it's more about that geopolitical squeeze, essentially. And as well, you have to keep in mind, as things degrade economically, as you end up deeper and deeper in debt, you basically one of the only ways that an empire can continue to survive is just by gobbling up more territory and taking more resources and grabbing as much as possible, essentially. So it's kind of a salvage attempt, I think, at the same time. But yeah, what I was going to say was, you can see then that the Prime Minister of Greenland then begins to say, you know, to Denmark, we want to be independent because of all of the... Here's this debate taking place, you know, above our heads, and I'm saying strategically, someone told Trump, do that, maybe that will also put the wheels in motion for them to become more independent, and once they are independent, there's some... It's some dumb Inuit people. It's only 50th. We can just bamboozle them. We'll tell. Yeah, sure. We'll secure you. Will you enter into a special defense relationship with us, or we'll have Greenland become an independent country, and then they will join NATO, or whatever the hell comes in the wake of that. So it isn't completely just like some crazy idea they throw out. As you said, they've done that for a long time, but the way that it's done is very, as I said, bombastic. It's very, and of course, to more kind of scaled back, somewhat more introverted Scandinavians. This is kind of like, what is this kind of thing? Maybe not seen as rude, maybe, but kind of like crass. Is that the right word? Do you guys have that? Anyway, let's listen to the part about the coat of arms, because I think that's kind of funny that they're like, I mean, this means nothing. I made a tweet about it and people didn't seem to understand. I was like joking. It's like Denmark just said, from my cold, dead hands, right? They changed their coat of arms. Anyway.
Symbolic significance by updating the country's coat of arms to feature a polar bear representing the island more prominently. Trump reportedly views Greenland...
And they did away with the three crowns? Look at the previous one here, by the way. What the hell is this? You're doing away with the three crowns? So it used to be down in the... Where can you see that? I can't use that on that full screen. Yeah, down there, right? That used to be the only thing, like Svalbard and the Faroe Islands, by the way, is another under the control of the Kingdom of Denmark. And they have the three crowns on there. I was just like, is that some old analogy to Norway, Denmark, Sweden when they were in a union? Or is that, you know, or is it separate from that? Anyway, because Sweden have that as our coat of arms, right? Anyway, so they did away with the three crowns, and then they put the ram for the Faroe Islands. and the blue top portion of the new coat of arms, and then the polar bear got a full place on the shield as well, as opposed to sharing that. So that means they mean business, ladies and gentlemen.
Feature a polar bear representing the island more prominently. Trump reportedly views Greenland as critical for U.S. strategy, aiming to counter Russia and China's influence in the Arctic. Insiders claim he's 100% serious about acquiring Greenland and even considering the reacquisition of the Panama Canal. If successful, this would be the largest land expansion in U.S. history, surpassing the Louisiana Purchase. Mm-hmm. However, for now, Greenland's leadership remains steadfast. The island is not on the market.
But yeah, I think... Shut up. I do think there'll be calls for independence. Denmark will then lose it. Don't... Every... UK is down this road. Let's just give up on everything, you know? Denmark will lose it. It will end up in the hands of these Greenlanders. I mean, how many... of I guess I should have looked it up. I'll do it later, but... Probably a minority of white Danes there, I would assume, but who knows? And yeah, they'll be bamboozled by some, you know, some CIA K-op or some shit, if nothing else. And it will de facto be a vassal state of the U.S. and thereby Zog at the end of the day, which is so sad. And that's why I'm like, God damn it, Denmark, stand your ground on this. We don't need more global homo shit here now. Here's another report. This is CNN. Let me see what they added, if they added anything here.
Donald Trump wants Greenland. The president-elect has called acquiring the autonomous Arctic territory, which is, of course, part of the Kingdom of Denmark, a strategic necessity for the United States. Now he sent his son, Don Jr., to Greenland, even though its leaders say that that is just a private visit. In a social media post, Donald Trump has said...
And it's also this... Nothing says, you know, kind of populism and grassroots than like sending your billionaire son. They're like, oh, this is great. Papa, can I buy this island? Can we use Federal Reserve fiat currency and buy this island, Dad? Can we do that?
Trump has said, I am hearing the people of Greenland are MAGA. He has also vowed to both cherish and protect Greenland in what he calls a very vicious world. Now, all this could make strategic sense for the United States. Greenland...
See, what I'm saying, this would be... In 2016 would... And didn't they do that? This is retarded. What the hell is he talking about? I could be wrong. Maybe they did this similar pivot or whatever. But if the tone is different. Tone is different about these things now. It's much more, well, we couldn't beat him, so we have joined him. We're fine. Joe Scarborough and Nika Brzezinski that went to Mar-a-Lago... And excuse me, they went to Mar-a-Lago and they spoke to him. That's it, checkmate. You know, like we won them over. Yeah, was Lars Agerbeck here says. Let me take these here. Greenland has a female white representative in the Danish Parliament. She was born in Greenland and doesn't consider herself Danish, although she clearly is. Yeah, that's very common. I'll mention that in a moment. She has held several speeches in Greenlandic when speaking to her colleagues in Parliament. Nobody understands a word she says. That's funny. Lars Agerbeck also says three crowns on the coat of arms symbolizes the Kalmar Union. Yes. Okay. Yeah. See, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. So they threw that out. God damn it. You know, I mean, I know that Denmark and Norway would not want this at this point, and that's more sensible. But at one point, I was wishing for, you know, Sweden and Denmark and Norway to come together as one union again, because we'd be the most powerful economic zone. Not that it's about the economy, but I'm saying, like, we could be more powerful as a Nordic nation as opposed to being divided up like that. Look, I still want the distinct differences and all that to remain, kind of thing, but that would have made more sense than joining the EU or some shit like that. But anyway, whatever. Thank you, Lars. I appreciate the comment on that. I did not know about her, but that's very common in Sweden too, right? I'm Sami. You know, it's like it's when Americans say, oh, I have 15% Apache or some Native Indian in me, you know, kind of thing. Same thing. It's like, you look white. What's okay. Cause now it's more special, right? So the same thing with the Sami. There are some that are kind of have a little bit of an Asian, but many of them are, they're probably not even mixed. They're probably just fully Swedes. They just lived in the area, and they've just over time, like, yeah, kind of. I'm with these guys. as it became not cool to be white, you know. So now they're native. Here's Charlie Kirk. Ugh.
I think we're the first people in history to say that we dance the YMCA.
Greenland and Palm Beach in the same day.
In the same day.
Yeah, he is the butt, the, what is it again? The butt, boom. Butt sex in Botswana. Is this the one? Oh, come on. Is this the one? Or is this the, yeah, there it is, right? Let me go full screen. Boom. Butt sex in Botswana. That's a good one. Now, of course, you have the, everyone's favorite. Oh, is it not here? Did not hear? Really? Charlie. I would have searched for Charlie. No? Oh, God damn it. It was a kind of the same, when he does the same face, but he said, come inside me, Mr. Netanyahu. It was a very entertaining meme. Fortunately, I don't have that right now. I wish I did. But yes, very, excuse me, very unnerving when you see these YMCA, you know, kind of enthusiasts. Shill Globalism 2.0. Basically, the North American Union, NAFTA, repackaged in a MAGA wrapper, and now all of a sudden the conservatives are all about it. I thought they were more about isolationism, fixing America, let's not expand. Nope. Pew! All that, see, all that's out the window. And they're just, this is great.
Okay, we are here in Greenland with Don Jr.
Everyone wants to be on TikTok.
What do you guys think of America?
Great.
Love America, and you love Trump?
Yes, of course.
The youth of Greenland, Don.
We're hearing a lot of it, guys. We're hearing a lot of it.
And you guys all watch TikTok,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course. I'll follow you.
Oh, thank you. Live from Greenland. Okay.
Ban TikTok. I should ban TikTok. Ban it all. Ban it all, I say. All right, what else do we have here? Full throttle. Take off out of Greenland after an epic day. Big plane, short runway in Nuuk. Send it.
Deeper. Guys, full thrust, take off. Leaving Greenland. You see some high performance stuff.
Thrust it. We are aboard Trump Force One on a full thrust takeoff. Take a look, everybody.
Daddy, can we buy Greenland? Can we buy?
You know, that's what I'm. Shorter runway than a lot of the.
I hate to do a lefty talking point here because they have kind of criticized them for that, but in this case, I'll kind of take it. You know what I mean? They land for a day, like, oh, this look at these Inuits. We gave a MAGA hat. Look, they're on our side, guys. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Just them flying. What does it say?
Awesome day, boys and girls. We'll see you in Florida in a couple of hours.
Yeah, right back to Florida. We'll take this shit over in no time. I'm not sure they will, but you know what I mean. Some guys is looking at real estate in lots of different areas. Every time I find a nice house in my price range, the demographic reports explains why nobody wants to live with non-whites. Not even non-whites, exactly. That's why, you know, white people retract into an area and then they follow. They will come. Being close to white people is supposedly, they think, some kind of right, a human right. One more here from some guy. Trump just wants more space for Pajits. The white people will have to move up to Canada and Greenland, so the Pajits are gifted America. And you say, oh, I see what you're saying, that way. Can we retreat? They will come anyway. This is what I've realized. I'm thinking too much of like Visigoth Spain and like, oh yeah, they retreated to the north and kind of regrouped and like grew in numbers, got strong and motivated, and then like, fuck you. And they just kind of, you know, burst into the rest of Spain and Portugal, and they kicked all the Muslims out. Took them 700 years, though. Doesn't have to take us 700 years, by the way. But anyway. But these days, yeah, no, wherever white people build, they will come. Doesn't matter how cold it is, wherever. Here's Donald Trump Jr. Greenland is beautiful. So let's buy it, everybody, and change it. But it's just showing up, you know, the photo ops and taking it, and then like, yeah, let's get it. I don't know. Okay, what else do we have here? Oh, yeah. So a couple of clips of Trump is wants to tariff Denmark at a very high level in a potential dispute over acquiring Greenland. Let's listen to what he said here.
Back on Greenland, your position is clear, but have you directed your staff to take specific actions to drop plans? And can you elaborate again? You didn't rule out military coercion.
We need Greenland for national security purposes. I've been told that for a long time, long before I even ran.
See, I've been told that. So the way he's doing it, that's his way, which serves a strategic purpose, as we said, but it's not his idea.
And I mean, obviously, people have been talking about it for a long time. You have approximately 45,000 people there. People really don't even know if Denmark has any legal right to it. But if they do, they should give it up because we need it for national security.
But we do.
For the free world. I'm talking about protecting the free world. You look at, you don't even need binoculars. You look outside, you have China ships all over the place. You have Russian ships all over the place. We're not letting that happen. We're not letting it happen. And if Denmark wants to get to a conclusion, but nobody knows if they even have any right title or interest. The people are going to probably vote for independence or to come into the United States. But if they did, did do that, then I would tariff Denmark at a very high level.
To draw plans for acquisition.
If they did do what? If they did let them, I didn't follow. If they did let them go? No. If they didn't, because that wouldn't make sense otherwise.
But if they did do that, then I would. Nobody knows if they even have any right title or interest.
Nobody knows. It's kind of up in the air. See how they do that? They just throw that out there. You know, kind of like, yeah. Well, they colonize it. Like since the Norse, the Vikings. Like, we're there. That's been... We've had a claim on that in the North. That's just how it goes.
Well, they're going to probably...
Look, I understand. It might does make right. It's about power at the end of it. Which is, you know, why it sucks, obviously. But, yes, that's what it is. If they... I mean, not... They won't do that. But, yeah, they could go in with military. But, as he says, that's not the point of it. He's not going to invade. Yeah, this is not about that. It's about getting more, you know, beneficial relationships with... countries like Canada or for the U.S. warships to go through the Panama Canal. I think he said it was built for the U.S. military, the Panama Canal. And then, of course, it was who was it that handed it over? The guy who died, right, recently. Jimmy Carter, right, handed it over, I think, to Panama. And now they want it back. Probably because at the end of the day, I think that's what it's ramping up to. A big goddamn global, you know, the multipolar world order war. Multipolar world war. That's what it's gearing up towards. And this is part of that race, I think.
Vote for independence or to come into the United States. But if they did do that, then I would tariff Denmark at a very high level.
Have to draw plans for acquisition? I mean, are you actively...
No, we're not at that stage, but we have people. I haven't even entered office yet.
Which is true. Which makes all of this even more hilarious in a way, right? All right, anyway. Oh, that's not a duplicate of the other clip I have. Let me see here. All right, we saw that one. Yeah, here's the coat of arms. We covered that with Trump coveting Greenland. Denmark update its coat of arms. here's the Mackinder theory a little bit, right? The Heartland theory of them basically controlling the entire zone there as close to the Arctic as possible. And the potentiality then. We might get warmer temperatures, which means less ice, you know, in the Arctic and things like that, which means you could have then... shipment going that way as opposed to going around in the Pacific and the Atlantic, and this will become a much more strategically important area, and that's part of why they want to control it, or at least have some puppet government in place that they do control, right, like a proxy thing, and that's more likely, I think, the outcome here. is they push the Inuit to like want independence, and Greenland is weak and cucked enough to say, okay, yeah, colonialism bad, and then they let it go. And then America does some gay op, and they put some puppet in place, essentially. Or they just bribe someone. This is like old school 101 John Perkins, you know, I mean, the economic hitman. I mean, look into some of that. Yeah, he's kind of a shit lib in many regards, but that doesn't mean that the CIA didn't do a bunch of shady shit in many other parts of the world, and especially in South American countries and stuff like that, obviously, to gain control and take over these guys. And again, if you know, none of this is to the benefit of actual, you know, Americans and, you know, them taking over resources in different countries and stuff like that. It just goes to the establishment. It just goes to the elite. It just goes to these big corporations, and now it's going to go to tech bros or whatever. You know what I mean? Anyway, there's the graph from top, just to get you to see that. And yeah, so here's an interesting thing here. Let me see. Was this deleted? Yeah. No, so this is it's another interesting thing here. Club of Rome. And this is to kind of reemphasize that point, too, of like the repackaging globalism now in a MAGA wrapper. I think this makes the point as well. If you're wondering why there's talk of bringing in Canada and Greenland, here's your answer. Trump was installed to usher in the new world order to get conservatives to accept it. And it's working, and it's not a bad take. I mean, again, Club of Rome basically divided up the world into 10 regions. And North America was one of them, and of course it includes Canada and Denmark. And NAFTA, technically, I think that's actually part of, you know, including Mexico. But at the same time, if there is no border, and I think it's interesting because Trump mentioned and between Canada, there's an artificially drawn border. Well, the same is to the south then, right? I mean, obviously, before pre-mass immigration into Canada, yeah, they shared North America and Canada shared more of an ethnic bond, obviously. But to, like when you don't even control your own border to the south, and then you're talking about like taking over new territories and, you know, going to war with countries to take them over and stuff. Ethnically, it's unfortunately just, you know, the southern states are now like becoming Mexican or Hispanic. They're becoming, south, riddled with so many South Americans that it's almost like, does it matter? You know what I mean? And all these free trade agreements, which also means, you know, movement of people as they are goods, you know. Oh, these are just, you know, the talking points, you know, is picked up straight from neoliberal left-leaning academics. Oh, these are just artificial drawn lines on a map, and they don't really exist, and it doesn't mean anything. So therefore, you know, voila. It is funny, you can you do a search for Club of Rome, divides nations into 10 regions. Yes, the Club of Rome used a mathematical model that divided the world into 10 regions to predict a scenario of social change. Now, frankly, it's probably more... I mean, they still have some sway, Club of Rome. It's not completely outdated. I would worry more about the Club of Tel Aviv, I guess, at this point, or the Club of Jerusalem. But it is interesting that 10 regions, right? Because it's the biblical thing and the blueprint of that, again, of like having 10 kings to rule the world at the end times. And so, I mean, it's very, because it is Club of Rome, after all. There might be, as I said, it might be environmentalist, shitlib leftist, but there's a lot of religious people involved in that too. And they like to kind of seed those types of things. So going back to the map again, that's how they see things divided. And so there'll be 10 rulers of the earth, right? That's what they want. The model was developed by Mihailo Mezarvik, a Serbian guy, and Edward Pestel. And another model was developed under the direction of Amilcar Herrera. I'm not sure what that is. The Club of Rome seeks to find solutions to global issues. Oh, yeah. Even New York Times had this back from 76. Need for social change is seen by Club of Rome. And they have the article there, but they talk about that. Like, yeah, it's actually just 10 regions, right? This is a scenario foreseen in a sophisticated mathematical model dividing the world into 10 regions. And so I'm saying it's it's just looping back on itself. We're now, you know, isolationist, conservative, nationalist, supposedly MAGA people are now helping to recreate a Club of Rome, you know, New World Order initiative, essentially. Isn't that interesting? Right? And all it takes is to go and take a couple of photos, apparently. Club of Rome. They were, in fact, Club of Rome recently had that. They had, of course, the famous book, right, that they released was Limits to Growth. And technically, on some issues, they are correct. I don't agree with them. In fact, it's the worst people possible to run something like that, run an operation like that. But yeah, there are limits to growth. You can't just endlessly grow. Kind of makes me think of Musk and stuff like that too, by the way. Because he goes on and on about demographics and it's, oh my God, this is bad. This is civilization ending. We need more people, right? And of course, that's why the Pajit discussion has entered so prominently. Because they're seeking to just, well, white people are not reproducing. Let's bring in Pajits. We can't have illegals, because that can be a deported one day. No, we need legal migrants. We need the best and the brightest from other parts of the world, which they're not, but that's a separate discussion. Basically, it's cheap labor for the tech sector. So bring them in and replace them, because it's so... No, we can have a little bit of decline. It's good to have decline. Nothing in nature just keeps on growing and growing and growing and expanding and expanding and ever. Nothing works like that. And if you do that, eventually you'll be smacked so hard back into place that it will be a goddamn catastrophe. Can you imagine the suffering? You already see that in, like, African countries. The only reason those populations are ballooning to the extent that they are is because Westerners keep dropping goddamn bags of rice and milk powder into some of these areas under the world, UN food program. Or the UN World Food Program, whatever it's called. And at some point, it's like, maybe you should, if it's not sustainable on its own, you probably shouldn't have them develop dependency on nourishment for other people. First of all, it's just a horrible tactic, because, of course, now end result is we're being invaded because of it. But it can't endlessly grow. But it feels that's what the tech sector want. They want growth and more economy and more money. And Musk might or might not have some pipe dream about colonizing Mars. So he doesn't even care about the Earth in that sense. It's just like any means necessary. Oh, we just got to get off of this planet. Let's not fix any of the issues here. Wasn't that one of the tweets? Is that I'm gathering resources just to be able to get to Mars. And that's it. Wasn't that another thing, by the way? The whole Club of Rome and the New World Order thing. Wasn't there like... was that, or was that not mentioned in the one von Braun book or whatever? Forget if that was real or not, or maybe someone just made that up, but it was like 10 world leaders that had agreed to had granted this character in the book that von Braun wrote, named Elon, coincidentally. That, yeah, you can go to Mars or something to that effect. I saw some quote on that passing. Maybe that's not true, whatever, but I wouldn't be surprised. It would be interesting. Okay. So here it is, globalism repackaged. Just put some boom boxes in, some gangster rap, and we're ready to go. Even some other bad takes here. Only 56,000 people live in Greenland, which means there's plenty of space for America to ship all the illegals and migrants. Trump should definitely purchase Greenland. Enjoy your sheet of ice, foreigners. No. Come on. You don't ship them to a northern country that's already controlled by another European country. Or in this case, a landmass controlled by another European country, an island. You ship them south somewhere. Madagascar, then, or something. You know, come on. Not Greenland. Not Denmark, you know, technically under Denmark. Oh, she wasn't serious? Okay, well, I thought she was serious. Okay. Yeah, she did get some shit in the replies to that, apparently. Okay, I didn't know. Who knows? All right. What else here? Let's see if we have... Oh, here's the Club of Rome, Beyond Growth stuff here. Just a reminder, Ursula von der Leyen was talking at one of their conferences. What I'm saying is MAGA agenda, Club of Rome agenda, like just seamlessly coming together. Isn't that fascinating?
A little over 50 years ago, the Club of Rome and a group of MIT researchers published the Limits of Growth report. It mapped the interaction between...
Now, as I said, I want to clarify that. They are technically correct, but the solutions that they offer for it is all wrong for the most part that I don't agree with. Like, yes, they do want depopulation and stuff, but they want whites out of the picture, as we'll see in a moment. And they're blaming whites because they're like colonialists and stuff. They want some like mixed race, you know, clergy mutt left over in like far lower numerical numbers, right?
Between population growth, the economy, and the environment. And it came 50 years ago to a drastic conclusion. Stop economic and population growth, or else our planet will not cope. And as you know, this report has sparked a long controversy, for instance, about the role of new technology in the countering the climate change. But instead of prolonging these debates, I want today to concentrate on one point. And that is a point that the report got right beyond any doubt. And that is the clear message that a growth model centered on fossil fuels is simply obsolete.
I don't think so. It's not about fossils. Yeah, these idiots. I mean, I get that. They just basically, it's like some, you know, communism through the back door or like whatever you want to call it, essentially, which is, that's what they want. You know what I mean? So let's do away with like industrialism and let's just kind of return everything back to nature. But then they don't want you to be part of nature. They want you in some weird high tech mega hub city, megalopolis somewhere where you can't even go out in nature, right? This is very weird, detached. They're worshipping Mother Earth, you know, or something like that. But yeah, but just as some kind of object to like look at, or like you can't be part of nature. They're super anti nature. Why they claim they're hyper pro nature, essentially, and they worship that, you know, kind of thing. And they basically want to deindustrialize, and that's, I don't think that's what Trump wants, what he kind of represents. Now, since the merger with the big tech bros and the PayPal mafia and all that stuff, I think they want more growth. As we said, Musk, they want more population, they want more people, they want more industry, they want to drill. He talks about this all the time, drilling. And I'm not technically against that, but we also can't have endless growth, right? We're like stuck between a rock and a hard place. We don't want the Club of Rome's shit because ultimately they're anti-white and a bunch of shit libs, which is not good, but ultimately they are correct, I think, about the idea that we can't have endless growth either, while the other side is like, no, just more, you know, pave it over, more bed sheets, bring them all in. Let's build and drill and just, you know, pump it out. And they're kind of like not a veneration for nature, at worst, at least. So that's the Club of Rome. And here's Dennis Meadows, a member of Club of Rome, talking about this here, the depopulation, right? 1 to 2 billion less humans. Listen to this.
But in one way or another, we are so far, globally, we are so far above the population and the consumption levels which can be supported by this planet that I know in one way or another it's going to come back down. So I don't hope to avoid that.
Some people, claim it's really not. Everybody could fit in the state of Texas or something. I've heard some of these claims, but I'm just judging from like when I'm, you know, like actual easily accessible land, arable land, like you kind of, you know, not everyone would want to live in Texas, you know, what is the majority desert or maybe 50-50? I know there's some very lush areas in Texas too, but I just don't want to, I think Europe is overcrowded. You know, America's not that densely populated, but look at some of those cities and you get close and it's, developments everywhere. I'm just looking at where you, and granted you go, you know, where roads are for the most part, and where, you know, where other humans are. And sure, in between there are some areas, a lot of undeveloped, but I like that. Let's keep, like, I don't want to have more development everywhere. I want nature, you know what I mean? But the problem is these people are just like, yeah, let's do away with all these white, as I'll show you in a moment. Anyway, back to Meadows here as he talks about the reduction of the population here.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way. Peaceful.
Can we kill all these white people in some peaceful way?
Doesn't mean that everybody's happy.
Look, because, and Alex Jones would say, right, that the Club of Rome, that's kind of like Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, and they're trying to depopulate and stuff. And it's like, well, they're not really doing a very good job, are they? Oh my God, they're targeting Africa. Oh, are they? All I see is they're going after like white people with fucking COVID shots. Shitting on white people, opening the borders, making sure that we are demographically declining, right? That's what they're doing. They got it out for white people. White people are their competitors. They're not depopulating African countries. They're expected to build, they are ballooning. They're exploding. Asian countries are exploding in their population numbers. I mean, sure, China has now low birth rates and stuff, and some other countries are going in that direction. I think that's unstoppable, and, you know, luckily so, I guess, to a certain extent, because you have an ebb and a flow. You just can't go up and up and up all the time. It's impossible. But, yeah, a lot of these technocrats, they'll probably see at the end of it, anyway, they will seek to just replace us with robots and automation, and they might have a small core group of, like, grunt humans left. They're just like, ooh, you know, smart enough to push a couple of buttons if they need it or whatever. Like, or like pick up the robot when it falls over or so, you know, something like that. And then it will be these like mega rich decadent, you know, mutant elites, halfway transhuman, some shit like that.
But it means that conflict isn't solved through violence, through force, but rather in other ways. And so that's what I hope for. That we can, I mean, the planet.
Get to it, Dennis.
Can support something like a billion people. Maybe 2 billion, depending on how much liberty and how much material consumption you want to have. If you want more liberty and more consumption, you have to have fewer people. And conversely, you can have more people. I mean, we could even have 8 or 9 billion, probably, if we have a very strong dictatorship, which is smart. It's, unfortunately, you never have smart dictatorships.
I'm not agreeing with him, but I'm saying, I think he's right, though, in a way, right? Because I don't want to, you can, well, you know, there's free energy devices, and we don't have to live like this, and we could grow food so much more efficiently. And he's, all those things might be true. It might be, I'm not denying any of that, and that those are certainly aspects of it. I just know I don't want 20 billion people on this planet. I don't. India is a veritable hellhole. Look at how densely populated that is. And what's happening? Now they're all fleeing to Western countries, and it's just getting more and more development, and it's just, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. And I fundamentally disagree with that being an option. I think you can run it better, but a Dennis Meadows and a Club of Rome or a Klaus Schwab or a, you know, some weird whatever other elitist you want to talk about are the worst people possible to run and make the decision of who goes or not. Remember this? Here's another going back to the EU Parliament there where Ursula von der Leyen was speaking at the Beyond Growth event, the Club of Rome organized event in the European Parliament. Here's another, I forget what her name is, but look at how she pivots here. This is another then invited speaker. I'm not sure if she's technically part of the club. She probably is part of the Club of Rome, but if she's not, she was invited by them because of the message that she delivers. And what message was that?
Infinite growth on finite resources is not only a myth, but it's extractivist and ruthlessly oppressive by design. So when talking about growth and defending growth, there is a very important first question that we need to ask ourselves. Who are we growing this economy for? And what stories do we use to justify it? We have to acknowledge what lays below our growth. White supremacy, colonialism, and imperialism. White supremacy justifies a global system of exploitation and extractivism.
Extractivism.
Colonialism lays at the foundations of the European economy, institutions, corporate value chains, trade deals, investment agreements, and geopolitical structures of wealth accumulation, which means that there is no degrowth without decolonization.
All right. Anyway, so there's no Jewish bankers. This is not a problem. The majority of the 1% are just white people, apparently, and on and on it goes. So they won't really levy where the criticism is. They blame white supremacy, which is the same as blaming white people collectively. That's their answer to it, which is why fundamentally they're wrong. And I don't agree with them in terms of what they think should be implemented, although they technically might be correct in terms of, like, yeah, you can't have endless growth. Anyway, a five-year-old can figure that out. It's not that the Club of Rome has a great revelation about that. But you do have another side to this, where basically, like, just build more houses. And there was constant GDP. Lars Agerbeck, again here on Odyssey, says, Greenland supplies Denmark thousands of alcoholics and welfare beneficiaries. There you go. They gather in public parks and play loud music, drink beer, and vomit all day. Kind of similar to Sami in Norway and Sweden, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember many Sami, where, at least where I grew up, right? Obviously, if you go up north, you'll have some of that further north. But, yeah. So they... Is that what has happened? Has a lot of them come to... a lot of the Inuit Greenlanders have come to Denmark? And they go live in Denmark? Yeah, I could see that. I don't remember seeing that many of them last time, but yeah, maybe there's more today. It was a while ago now since I was in Denmark, but yeah. Yes, that's what they do. Some guy says here, if Asia, Africa, Central and South America were empty, there would be plenty of room for more white people. Just saying. That's right, some guy. That is correct. And some guy again says there, that lady has 7 kids. Oh, Ursula, right? She has 7 kids. Not the young one we played last there, I believe. But yeah, Ursula, does she have 7? I thought, was she? She was not one of the childless EU leaders. Ursula von der Leyen. And let me just see here. Children. 7 children. There you go. Yep, exactly. There you go. Yeah, it's funny, right? No, none of this applies to them. This is about controlling the plebeians and the people that stand in their way. And they'll start with nationalists because they consider them to be the biggest enemy, obviously. That's how this works. All right, anyway, so you have some tweets like this. Jonathan Paulson, supposedly from Denmark. Excuse me. basically, yeah, we should sell Greenland to the U.S. Why? And it's like, well, why? His last point here, Denmark doesn't have the capability to mine or extract the oil. Why? Norway does it. Enter into a partnership with Norway, have them develop some of the technology, techniques or whatever, and then cut them in on some of the profits as a way to pay for the equipment. This is not hard. It can be done. You don't need Chinese people. You don't need America come in and doing all this for you. Selling to someone who can makes sense, I think he says, as does not selling the rights to China. Well, that I agree with. Don't sell to China. Again, I mean, in an ideal world, like if America turned down his hardcore MAGA way and it was like make America white again, and it's about its European foundings, and they had this kind of expansionist, let's kind of reclaim the way. Yeah, that'd be kind of okay with it. But under the current thing, no. Definitely not. Because it will just be more of the same. Like there's areas in the U.S. that are being, that are controlled by Chinese now. It's controlled by Indians now. It's controlled by Latin Americans. It's controlled by blacks. It's controlled by Jews. It's like all these occupied... Which means Denmark, at the end of it, won't, let's assume that the demographic trends continue in America. I hope it doesn't, and we're fighting for it, that not to happen, but let's assume that it does happen. All of a sudden, there'll be, you know, now there's six, I tweeted this out, right? It's one of the newly elected Pajits at the U.S. House of Congress, I think. I forget what it was, Virginia or something, or House of Representatives, I forget what it was. Anyway, he was like, oh, now there's six Pajits in the house. Oh, this is great for us. And one day we hope there will be many more, you know, kind of thing. Just total ruthless ethnocentric activism, which of course is what we need as whites, right? But then, but it's framed it's a problem that it's so many whites, more Indians, good. But let's assume that that continues. You'll have a bunch of different ethnic groups jockeying for power of the United States, using whatever's left of the American military for their own goddamn purposes, and ultimately their homeland or ethnic group, you know, interests. And you want them to then have even more control of other, you know, regions close to Europe or in Europe and stuff like that, and them have control of Greenland. Would that look out for what? No. My point stands. America, take control of your own country before you try to take control of other regions. That's the point, right? It'll be the same as just handing it over to Zog or handing it over to Israel. I think Adam Green was like, what is it? Why does Israel want Greenland? That's basically what it is now. That's what it comes down to. Oh yeah, here's an example. Talib Nur Muhammad. It's simple. This is regarding the Canadian thing, right? Loyal Canadians will always defend our independence unconditionally. If you're a Canadian, within quotes he put there, wearing a MAGA hat and keen to give up our sovereignty, you're a traitor. Canada is home. It's worth defending. Not defecating on? Every last inch. And we're never going to surrender. 1812. All right. Just the kind of Durka you want to defend your nation there, Canada. Oh my gosh. these are the patriotic defenders now. No, Canada wants to, anyway. This one we could play. Trump wants to rename the Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America. That's more funny though.
Mexico's really in trouble. A lot of trouble. Very dangerous place. And we're going to be announcing at a future date pretty soon. We're going to change, because we do most of the work there and it's ours. We're going to be changing. It's sort of the opposite of Biden, where he's closing everything up, essentially getting rid of $50 to $60 trillion worth of assets. We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, which has a beautiful ring that covers a lot of territory. The Gulf of America, what a beautiful name. And it's appropriate. It's appropriate. And Mexico has to stop allowing millions of people to pour into our country. They can stop them. And we're going to put very serious tariffs on Mexico and Canada, because Canada, they come through Canada too. And the drugs that are coming through are at record numbers.
So Canadians are like, we don't want Americans going in there. And then Americans were like, we don't want to have Pajits from Canada coming in. Don't unify it. We need balkanization, smaller manageable territories, right? Like tribes, essentially. I know that's not the way of the world recently here, but I don't know. It's just, no, please not. Don't. You got to kind of, maybe you just need to hang in there a bit longer. Like, if you genuinely are afraid that, like, Russia or China will take over or something like that. And again, America's already, like, deep under the thumb of, like, you know, the Jewish lobby, the Israeli lobby. And I think that's the biggest problem, frankly. Like, take back control of your country first, and then, you know, before you talk about any of this other stuff. But regardless, they see this as a plus, though, right? That's what we want. That's great. What was I going with that? I forgot what I was going with that. Anyway, you get the point. You get the point. It's just like, well, I guess that's what I want to say. It's just a it's an endless just string of saying things, and then nothing happens, right? Oh, we're going to do that, we're going to do this. And it was like, yeah, you're also going to build a wall and have Mexico pay for it, and that didn't happen, and, you know, it just keeps the circus going, you know, kind of thing. While it gradually just gets worse and worse for just like, you know, non-mega wealthy, you know, Americans, essentially. Mexico's president tells, well, it's the same thing with this, but he met with her, remember this, the first Jewish female president of Mexico, Sheinbaum, he met with her. And after that, he texts to social media, Trump, and says what a great meeting it was. And they said, she said that Mexico is going to deal with the immigration issue and stop illegals and, you know, all these things. And then she comes out, like, no, I didn't say that. Like, what is he talking about? And it's like, okay, well, someone is lying here. Who's lying? I mean, I would assume it's her by default, but maybe it's not. I don't know. Because it's a lot of jabber here, right? Well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And let's rename it to the Gulf of... Yeah, but how does that change things on the ground for people to deal with their grocery prices? So the reason why they voted for Trump. I still think that's a primary reason, right? You know, grocery prices were manageable on the first Trump term. It goes to shit under Biden, and then everyone is like, "Yeah, you know what? Let's get back to that guy. At least it was a better economy." And I think that mostly that's probably it. Could be wrong. Maybe there's other reasons. I mean, there are other reasons, but like the primary one. And then there's all this posturing and, you know, bombastic, you know, announcements of we're going to do this, we're going to do this. Nothing really kind of pans out, and it's kind of a sad state of things, to be honest. Okay. Here's Danish. Here's a wholesome thing. Speaking of Denmark, right? A kindergarten in Denmark. Here we go. Look at this. This is nice. What I want. There we go. Just get muddy. Just lay in the muck. There we go. That's nice. That's what. More of that. Can we have some more expansion of that kind of stuff? I'd like to see more white kids rolling around having a good time in the mud. How about that? maybe that's what we should be worrying about, getting to that more. And like renaming the Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America. All right. A couple of good tweets here from Dominic, we had on the show here, joining us for the New Year's stream. The United States is the richest nation in the history of mankind, and we cannot even manage to extinguish fires in one of our largest cities. That's in L.A. right now, right? Meanwhile, fake conservative commentators have the audacity to say we're in a position to conquer other territories. Disgraceful. And that's not a bad take. Yep, have you seen any of this? We got to play Zuckerberg here too before we wrap up, but yeah, LA is like burning down. It's looking like the hellhole it actually always was. How about that? I mean, at one point it was probably nice, you know. I mean, at one point it was probably really nice and very white, you know. But no, not a good time. I think the mayor of Los Angeles, by the way, Karen Bass. She is in Ghana right now while her city there, she's supposed to look over, is burning to the ground. Well, can you imagine that? She's in Ghana doing some African shit because, of course, she's squints here, 75% African maybe, something like that. I don't know. Maybe 50, maybe 85. I don't know. Karen Bass. Because they don't care about that. That's a... They care more about their, like, does she have roots in Ghana or something? Is that why she's there? I'm not sure. Machete-wielding man arrested at Capitol ahead of Trump visit. Okay. All right. Okay, so we got to do the Zuck thing here before we before we run out of time. So here it is. Is this the cut down version? I think there's a longer version, but it's fine. Let's play this one. Maybe he'll repeat all of the things here. Man, he looks just odd. Is he back to being human now, or what's going on? So anyway, other topic here. Zuckerberg is announcing that he is basically press X to doubt. It's time to end censorship, everybody, on many of their platforms because they made a couple of mistakes with that. And it turns out, it's probably better if we at least on the surface kind of appear to be working now, together with the Trump. I don't buy this for a moment. And even if it is indeed some let up, it's a small bribe to pivot both towards the conservative side. But it's also to get people back on the platform because how much is AI-driven bots on Facebook now, the majority of the traffic, and maybe they know this on some level. And they drove everyone off the platform, and I guess for the better. I guess for the better, to be honest. Maybe we should. I don't think we should be on Facebook. I'm glad we were banned, frankly, in 2019, in a way. But anyway, let's listen to what he says here. Anyway, there's a lot to say, but let's listen to this first here. There we go.
Hey, everyone. I want to talk about something important today. Because it's time to get back to our roots around free expression on...
You want to talk about something important today, Mark? Hi, Mark. I'm in a corporate meeting, and that's my my voice sounds like this. I want to talk... It's just... Is there anything about this guy which is actually just natural, organic, not synthetic? Or I don't know. Maybe he even grew out his hair to like look less like some weird, android. I don't know. It's very, anyway, whatever. This is not what it's about. But we have to make fun of him, okay?
Hey, everyone. I want to talk about something important today because it's time to get back to our roots around
free
expression on Facebook and Instagram. I started building social media to give people a voice. I gave a speech at Georgetown 5 years ago about the importance of protecting free expression, and I still believe this today. But a lot has happened over the last several years. There's been widespread debate about potential harms from online content. Governments and legacy media have pushed to censor more and more. A lot of this is clearly political, but there's also a lot of legitimately bad stuff out there. Drugs, terrorism, child exploitation. These are things that we take very
seriously. Well, that festers on your platform, Mark. How about dealing with that first?
And I want to make sure that we handle responsibly. So we built a lot of complex systems to moderate content. But the problem with complex systems is they make mistakes. Even if they accidentally censor just 1% of posts, that's millions of people. And we've reached a point where it's just too many mistakes.
You mean humans?
Too much censorship.
Too much.
The recent elections also feel like a cultural...
We censored a little bit too much. Yeah. And now you're like, sorry about that. We'll clean that right up for you, okay?
Point towards once again prioritizing speech. So we're going to get
once
back.
Again. It feels different now. For some reason, it's just different now. And now you can talk about immigration again. Let's say if it's included in this.
Our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms.
Mm-hmm.
More specifically, here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes similar to X, starting in the U.S.
Okay, he doesn't have the whole clip there. God damn it, I wish he had the whole thing. I think The Guardian has a cut-down version of those points he goes through. But it is funny, though, right? Oh, now the Musk model seems to work. I think overall traffic is up, but they've lost some. Wasn't there some big exodus from Twitter to Blue Sky or something like that, the pedophile network or something? Anyway, he goes through them here. I think this one has, he includes all of the points in this one. Here we go. Let's listen to this one here then.
Instagram. We're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes similar to X starting in the U.S. After Trump first got elected in 2016, the legacy media wrote nonstop about how...
Ooh, the legacy... Ooh, he's picking up terms from the bold, normie conservatives? Is that what the... He's talking about legacy media now. Ooh, Mark is on our side, everybody.
...stop about how misinformation was a threat to democracy.
Mm-hmm.
We tried in good faith to address those concerns without becoming the arbiters of truth. But the fact-checkers have just been too politically biased and have destroyed more trust than they've created, especially...
So, wasn't there something that immediately the fact-checkers came out and said, this is not our fault, like, we didn't do this, they were freaking out or something, or he's trying to blame us, and we fact-checked his video, and it was not about us or something. Remember all those articles we had about people who were watching, like, memes on Facebook that were, they had, like, PTSD and shit, and some of them were being red-pilled, and they were, like, you know, they woke up to, like, a lot of stuff because they were just watching memes on Facebook essentially all day. They're crying and stuff. I was like, yeah, you can have some automated system, I guess, if it's like violence or whatever. So you're like, oh, do you want to see this? And it could be gruesome. Click here to see this content or something like that. Then, you know, kind of thing, you know, get rid of the, you know, pornography and nudity and all that stuff. And of course, you have a team that's there to like clamp down on, you know, child pornography. But overall, otherwise beyond that, yeah, anybody, bro, could have told you that, like, yeah, this is not, you're not gonna get anywhere with, like, censoring people. This is gonna leave your platform. They're gonna jump ship. You're gonna just have a bunch of AI bots left over at the end. And this is his way of saying, no, come back, everybody. Come back in. We're losing too many people. It's just, basically, it's AI bots and boomers left on Facebook. And they're realizing that he's losing. My tip is, don't go back on the platform. I was making a joke about this, right, because... of course, we were put on me, Red Eyes, and Lana were put on this dangerous individuals and organizations list by Facebook. And The Intercept had a article about this back in 2021. They censored us in 2019. And I said, kind of jokingly, like, all right, fine, I'll try. I might still do it. I actually haven't had time to do it, but I might still try to set up an account. I will not use it. I'm not going to post anything on there or anything like that. But I'm saying, just to test his free speech thing and see if we're actually back on allow there. What's happening with this blacklist or whatever? It's Himmler and Göring, you know, right there with me. It's a good place to be, folks. Anyway, back to the clip here. See, this is my thing. Our enemies are making a mistake. Don't interrupt them. They're saying, come back. We made mistakes. Please don't fix Walmart when they turn to DEI. They've ruined them. Let them pay. They need to pay. They need to go under. And this is them saying, please come back, please save us, we're willing to meet you now halfway.
In the US, we're also going to tune our content filters to require much higher confidence before taking down content. The reality is that this is a trade-off. It means we're going to catch less bad stuff, but we'll also reduce the number of innocent people's posts and accounts that we accidentally take down.
Mm.
We're going to move our trusted safety and content moderation teams out of California, and our U.S.-based content review is going to be based in Texas.
There we go.
It's just a complete
Musk. What is it? Everyone's SpaceX headquarters is that in Texas now or something? Everything. And by the way, remember all this, the Pajits. Everybody said Texas is going to be the new India. Essentially, it's going to be India in North America. Is that part of this too? Is that the same? Because remember all the headlines we had about. Let me see where they're. Zuckerberg visits Trump at Mar-a-Lago, reportedly wants to support the national renewal. Stephen Miller says Zuckerberg sees Trump as an agent of change. Again, why are they pivoting now? Why are they've realized we can't defeat him? Let's work with him. Again, Mark Zuckerberg, I forget the organization called, he helped to undermine the 2020 election. And if Trump should not let, don't, they're, all they are doing is buttering him up. Oh, we love you. You're so great. Oh, I'm sorry I made some mistakes or whatever. You know, they talked to Trump is tough on negotiations or something. If he was tough on negotiations here, he would have said, fuck you, Mark. I'm never going to forgive you for what you did in 2020. No, you're not going to come visit. Oh, I'll talk with you, but I'm not going to grant you any of this. Musk, Ramaswamy faced mega uproar after saying tech firms need foreign workers. Right, it's related to all of this too. Big tech, SpaceX, OpenAI, Palantir, Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, PayPal Mafia. It's all related to this. Right. What's this, the other one? How Trump's triumph will turbocharge America's left-leaning tech giants. Even liberal bosses are lining up to build bridges with the returning Republican president. This is what's happening. Let's listen to the rest here.
Work to promote free expression. I think that it will help us build trust to do this work in places where there is less concern about the bias of our teams.
All right, anyway, it was somewhat of a longer clip there that he originally had, but that's the highlights from it, and that's basically it. I don't buy it a second, neither should you. What was the other one? Jeff Bezos recently met, right? What was the line here? The Rolling Stone piece there. Silicon Valley and tech billionaires are lining up to support the incoming Trump administration with the world's richest man, Elon Musk, as one of Trump's closest advisors. Trump has hosted Amazon billionaire Jeff Bezos, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg for dinners at Mar-a-Lago. Amazon, Meta, and OpenAI Sam Altman have all announced donations of $1 million each to Trump's inaugural committee. Trump has placed tech executives all over his new administration, including PayPal co-founder Ken Howery, venture capitalist Scott Cooper, and Srinam Krishnan, the tech boss David Sachs, whom Trump has picked to be czar of crypto and artificial intelligence. Great. The core things come down to displaying workers with artificial intelligence, displaying the currency with crypto, displacing the currency with crypto and displacing workers with artificial intelligence and getting rid of any. Well, but that's not true either, though, because they are importing Pajits, these guys, too. They want to have whites out of the way, import Pajits until they can build up the system on a very low budget cost and then eventually just get rid of humans, right? Getting rid of any taxation of wealth that might come up, says author and former tech investor Roger McNamee, who encouraged people to consider using less Silicon Valley tech products. We have been accepting all kinds of innovations of privacy, all kinds of surveillance, all kinds of manipulation in exchange for convenience. Could we do it with less convenience for a while in exchange for regaining human autonomy? Was one of the questions he asked. But anyway, yeah, J.D. Vance tied into this. Peter Thiel is a PayPal Mafia. David Sachs, Alex Karp, they're all tied into MAGA now. And they've all donated enough, and they've all got a foot in through the door. And this is the great pivot that we mentioned before as well. It's like, oh, you can't defeat them, join them, take it over from the inside. And I'm not even sure how much Trump actually is pulling the strings at all on any of this stuff anymore. They're obviously just doing favors for him, and then he just puts them in positions of power. And this could be real, really, really bad. And in fact, again, it's an attempt here to basically put back a Zuckerberg into a position of influence again. I mean, he is influenced. He has been influential, tremendously so. But Meta has been on a downturn ever since they did all this censorship stuff, right? Don't trust these people. So again, the only thing I'm going to do is I'm going to try and test just for fun, and I'll screenshot or whatever, record what I do, set up accounts on Facebook to see what happens. Now, we do have an Instagram. Don't tell anybody. I'm not sure how we skirted that one. I think I set that up. That was a couple of years after we were banned. But yeah, we are on Instagram. We post some, you know, when new shows go up there and shorter videos at Red Ice TV. But anyway, so for some reason, we weren't banned there, which is kind of odd. The main account was back when our main Facebook account was shut down. But that one was not for some reason, the second one I set up. But maybe it will be now. But it'll be interesting to see. But beyond that, obviously, I won't do anything. You don't want to get crawling back on there. You don't want to use these platforms. Instead, invest in those. We don't even have enough legitimate alternative platforms. I appreciate Odyssey. I appreciate Rumble. But many people criticize them too, and they're kind of on shaky ground or whatever. Obviously, Musk is very spurgy. That could change at any point, kind of thing. And of course, that's why we set up our own, right? That's why we have RedIce.tv, and of course we host all our own content on RedIceMembers.com. No one can take that down unless we're, you know, server banned or domain banned or something like that. But we are working on, actually, I did get a unstoppable domain, by the way, so that's one, you know, path here as well. But yeah, we host our own content and we have our own platforms. And that's why we do that. But people are lazy and they just want to go to these big platforms. I still see posts on people like, oh, I miss you on YouTube. It's like, even if YouTube lets you go back now, you shouldn't. Don't make them popular again. They will just yank your cord again. They're giving us this opportunity to build the infrastructure, to create something on our own. And of course, you know, the digital space is just a means towards an end, right? Being out there fighting in the information war, helping to wake people up, that's just one component of all of this. But if we can't do that, we're significantly, you know, kind of set back, obviously. But yeah, we need our own stuff. We don't need the Zuckerbergs. We don't need these weird and, you know, androgynous lizard men and their platforms and come crawling to it. I think it was great that they did all that stuff. I think it was great that they banned a bunch of people and got most of the, you know, cool people off their platforms. But the point is, it didn't work. It didn't work. And that's why they're now scaling back on stuff like this, because it did not work. It hasn't worked. I'm not saying we're in charge or things are going in our favor, but it says something when, like, discourse is now is driven to a large extent. Not only, of course, there's counterweights to this, but a lot of the discourse, at least against, you know, when they do retarded stuff like the H-1B stuff. Let's take a recent example, right? It's driven now by many people who are, you know, nationalists. They're grassroots activists for white people, essentially. And a lot of these other bigger accounts, they have to kind of reply and respond, and they feel kind of they're on the defensive about these kinds of things. And I'm not sure they're winning the discourse. So that's a good first step. It's moving in our direction. It says something of where the momentum lies, obviously. So these guys just basically want to, you know, get people back there. But again, and then 4 years from now, we'll change. Once Trump's out of office, who's going to take over? Who's going to be there? All these things that we've talked about is that they will switch, flip on a dime again. Boom. And it's right back where we started. Or now it feels like censorship is appropriate again. And, you know, but people got back on the platforms. They're rebuilding their audience on there. And then, boom, you're set back again. Don't be fooled again, as George W. Said, right? Fool me once, ain't going to get fooled again. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you. Thank you for your support, everybody. It's great to be with you. We had one more here from Alt White coming in on Odyssey. Best for the new year, Henrik. Thank you, Alt White. Appreciate it. Best to you as well. Happy New Year. It's going to be a great 2025. You know it. I'm excited to have the first no-go zone in the bag of this year. We got some interviews coming up. Flashback Friday, we'll be back with that. Got some good Western Warrior shows coming up. We also have some shorter interviews we're going to do. So make sure that you do tune in for that as well. A lot of things in the pipeline here. All right. In the meantime, guys, head on over to redicemembers.com. Sign up for a membership over there. Great way to support us. You can also sign up at Odyssey, Subscribestar, or Locals. Only $10 a month. But if you get a longer subscription, which you can get at redicemembers.com, you can get that price down as well. So you don't have to pay as much, but you get access to far longer subscription. So definitely consider doing that. We have subs all the way up to 2 years. Also, special thanks to our executive producers today. We appreciate you guys. Thank you. I'm going to rework a little bit of the design on that, so I won't be showing that just yet. If you would like to get a producer or executive producer tier, you can do that at redhousemembers.com. You can get it on Odyssey or Subscribestar. Locals don't have those tiers, I believe. So that's a great way to support us as well. And by the way, if someone wants to donate, help out Red Ice, if you want to do crypto, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin. We have some others, of course, on our website as well, redice.tv/donate. We have some others listed there, but here are some of the big ones, some of the main ones. That's a great way to support us. And if you would like to send snail mail, you can do that to this address right there as well. All right. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you. Very good to be back with you once again here as we get started on the new year. We'll be back here, of course, Friday. We're working on a couple of shorter videos as well in the background, so stay tuned for those. This year, we want to do some more shorter videos as well. Yeah, more interviews too, by the way, but definitely shorter videos. Get those up there, get those out there, because it always goes down really well. It's easier to get a lot of views and get out there more with shorter as opposed to streams and stuff. I enjoy streaming, and it's a great way, you know, as well. But yeah, shorter videos. More of that. Okay, guys, thank you again for joining us. We appreciate all of you. We'll be back here then Friday with more. Until then, take care. Have a great rest of your Odin's Day. Unless it's already Thor's Day for you guys over there. Folk first. We'll see you on RedHouseMembers.com. Take care, everybody. Have a great rest of your night or day.
Thank you for watching. Go to RedHouseMembers.com and sign up for our exclusive members content. Don't miss our latest shows, interviews, and other videos only for subscribers. You can also become a member by signing up at subscribestar.com/RedHouse. Get full access and help support our work. See you on the other side.
You're watching Red Eyes TV Book Burst.